I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, for the message this morning. I want to encourage you to be back in the service tonight. While you're turning, I'll tell you what I'm preaching on tonight. I'm going to take a look at the book of Acts, chapter 17, where Paul was in Athens, and he saw all these idols, and he said to the people that I notice you have all these idols you pray to, and in case you missed a god, you have an idol over there entitled to the unknown god. And I'm going to preach from that passage of Scripture tonight. The word to know is the word gnosis in the Greek. I never really thought of this until I was just looking at that passage of Scripture. The unknown, the agnostic God, the unknown God, meaning no, or the meaning of the word is I'm not sure. I think I know, but I'm not real sure. And we get the term agnostic or agnosticism from that word. And the word. Well, come back tonight. It's amazing. There's so much there, and I'm going to start preaching it this morning if I don't stop. But I'll show you some things tonight that will help you better understand our world that we live in. Folks, our country is in trouble, and that we're in trouble because of our lack of knowledge of God, and our world is becoming a world that does not know God. There's no fear of God before their eyes. And so I hope you'll be back tonight, and I will try to explain to you some of the reasons for the mindset of our nation today. And I just want you to be here. You'll want to hear what I got to say tonight, I think. So I hope you'll be here. All right, Mark chapter 4. I want to begin reading in verse 21. And I want to speak to you this morning primarily out of verse 24, but we'll begin reading in verse 21. The Bible says, "And he," that's Christ, "said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And he said unto them, "Take heed." What's the next word? What? All right. "Take heed what ye hear." I want to speak to you this morning a message that I'm going to entitle, "Guarding What You Hear." And I want you to give me your undivided attention this morning. I think there's something here that will help you in your Christian life. So the message this morning, guarding what you hear. You'll notice he said, "Take heed what ye hear." Let's pray together. Our Father, we ask now your blessings upon us as we look at this passage of Scripture. And Lord, how thankful we are that we have the Bible. And Lord, I don't have to stand up here and just speak from my own thoughts and my own ramblings. But Lord, we can take the authority of the Scripture and we can stand here today with a truth, with a principle from your word. And we know that it is something that we can use. It is something that will give structure and direction and guidance to our hearts. And so Lord, bless us now this morning as we look at this matter of what we hear. I pray that you will help us to have the mind of Christ. And Lord, I pray you'll fill me with your Spirit and help me as I speak. But Lord, as the Lord said here in this passage, give ears to hear to every person that is in this room and those that would be listening by radio, those that would be listening by tape. Lord, just bless and give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith. And we'll thank you, we'll praise you for what's accomplished and what you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and amen. There is no doubt that the Bible bids us to be very careful with the things that we say. All of us know that the words that we speak are important. Words mean something. And we need, the Bible encourages us often to be careful with the words that we say. We need to guard our speech as much as anything in life. The Apostle James tells us that words can be like a flame of fire that can set the world on fire. We need to be careful with the things that come out of our mouths. The Lord Jesus often warned in His public messages and to His disciples. He often warned people about the things that they say, realizing the power of words. But in this passage of Scripture, I want to take flip it around, and instead of preaching to you this morning on the things that we say, I want to speak to you this morning on the things that we hear. I think that there is a great principle here in this passage of Scripture, and in this passage, the warning is not on speaking, but it is on hearing. And you will notice the Lord Jesus said, "Take heed what ye hear." As I reflected on this statement, I immediately went back in my mind to all the times that we've learned about in our Wednesday night Bible study, about all the times where we were, where we read that the Lord reminded His audience about their listening habits. Many times before, during, or after a discourse, the Lord would say something like, "He who hath an ear, let him hear." Just as He did in this passage of Scripture. "He who hath an ear, let him hear." And it was a solemn summons to reflection thrown upon the crowd by our Lord as they were listening to what He had to say. And it was an admonition on His part that they were not just to take His words as idle chatter, but that they were to listen intently, for there was a principle, there was a truth, there was something that He was giving them that they needed to hide in their hearts. It was a swift and sudden reminder every time He challenged them to hear what He was saying of the importance and of the responsibility they had as they listened to Him speak. Now, folks, I want you to think about it for a moment. There was a sense in which every person who heard Him the same way. There was a sense, just a sense. And that sense is this. The Bible tells us on many occasions that it'll say, "And the Lord Jesus lifted up His voice." So everybody heard what He was saying. But the Lord also realized that although everybody heard what He was saying, not everybody heard what He was saying. It is possible, watch me, it is possible to hear something without hearing something. It is possible to hear a sound without hearing a sound. And there are a lot of folks who have the ability to tune things out. I've noticed that about some of you while I'm preaching on Sunday morning. My kids used to say all the time, "Dad's not going deaf, he just has selective hearing." And many a time we'd be driving down the road and I'll say, "I heard that. I hear what I want to hear." And don't look at me like that, you do too. So the whole idea of this thing is that there is a sense in which everybody heard what He was saying audibly, but they did not hear what He was saying in their hearts. And folks, that is exactly the thing that that we must think about and that we must consider as we hear the message this morning. The Lord Jesus knew that not everyone was going to hear what He had to say. And that's why He often challenged His audience, not just to hear His words, but to hear His words. All were listening, but not all were hearing. And the Lord Jesus knew the responsibility connected with speaking, but He also understood the great responsibility connected to hearing. So I want to speak to you this morning on the subject guarding what you hear. I want to speak to you about what you allow to enter into your heart. You know, it's one thing to hear something and then just dismiss it. But you get something from your mind to your heart by dwelling upon it, by thinking about it, by you choose, in other words, what you accept to hear. We all hear things every day, but we don't always remember everything. There are certain things that we choose to allow to go into our hearts. And that's what I want to speak to you about this morning. It's interesting that in Luke's gospel, when Luke was recording this very same event, Luke assumed a slightly different take on what Jesus said. Luke recorded for us that Jesus challenged the people, "Take heed how ye hear." You see the difference? Mark says what, and Luke says how. You say, well, why did one of the gospel writers hear it one way and the other heard it another way? Well, folks, that's just the point that I want to make this morning. We need to take heed of what we hear. We need to realize that we don't have a choice in the matter of hearing sound, but we do have a choice in the matter of what we allow to enter into our souls, into our hearts. We do have a choice in that matter. And let me say it to you this way. Our Savior was fond of saying startling things. And this is one of his most startling statements. And I want you to listen carefully to see the difference. Take heed how, Luke says. Take heed how ye hear is commonplace. All of us hear. There, you can't get away from it. Whether you want to realize it or not, you are hearing my voice this morning. Now, you may not be hearing me, but you are hearing me this morning. And so that's how we hear. Every one of us hears with our ears, with our eardrums. God has made us so that when someone speaks or when a sound is made, our ears hear that sound. That's how we hear. But now Mark turned right around and Mark says that we are to take heed what we hear. So, listen carefully to see if you can notice the difference. Take heed how we hear is commonplace. Take heed what we hear is revelation. That's revelation. That is what gets into our being and makes us what we are. It tells us, the kind of things that we hear and reveals the impact of what we hear on our lives. How we hear, listen very carefully now, how we hear involves the passions that define who we are. Now let that sink into you. How we hear defines or involves the passions that define who we are. How we hear depends upon what we love and what we hate. And I'll illustrate that in a moment. The truth is, folks, how we hear depends upon the character that is within us. I've had people say to me, "Pastor, you use the word character all the time. What do you mean by that?" Well, let me see if I can explain character to you. Reputation is what men think of you. Would you agree to that? Reputation is what men think of you. But character is what God and your wife know you are. You see the difference? Reputation is what people think of you, but character is what God knows you are. Someone said the test of your character is what you'll do when no one is around. Dr. Bob Senior used to say all the time, the test of your character is what it takes to stop you. And so the point that I want you to see is that how we listen as we journey through life is a clear portrait of the character that we have. It is a clear identification of who you are. And we are to take heed what we hear. Folks, listen, you're going to hear a lot of stuff as you go through life. But the point that I think Mark is trying to get us to see here is that we need to be careful what we allow to go from our ears to our heart. And it is important and imperative that if we're going to serve the Lord and live for the Lord and be what God would have us be, we've got to have our ears in tune with the Spirit of God and have spiritual ears to hear spiritual things from God and not just have ears that absorbs all that the world has to offer. Now, there are three little quick things that all run together to make the point. First, sometimes we cannot help what we hear. We just can't help what we hear. I mean, folks, listen, there is a large and literal sense in which hearing is independent of the will. I mean, your ears are just going to hear stuff. Your eardrums will hear all the sound around you. Now, granted, you can tune certain things out and you'll say, oh, I don't even hear that anymore. Well, I got news for you, my friend. You sure do still hear it. You may tune it out, but you still hear it. There is a sense in which your ears take in all the sound around you all the time. And granted, you can tune some things out. I mean, we've all done that as we've journeyed through life. I remember years ago when I was pastoring down at Bell Creek Baptist Church in Dixie, West Virginia. And several of the men in my church worked at what they called the hydroelectric plant. And the hydroelectric plant was just a little ways up the New River. You started out Route 60 east, and as soon as you start up Golly Mountain, there was a little road that went off to the right-hand side with a gate. And around that road was the hydroelectric plant. And it took the water that was dammed up on the top of the mountain, and it shot it through a channel, through a canal that was bored through the mountain, ran it through the generators, and they produced electricity for the metal plant, for the Elkham Metals downriver. And several of the men who attended my church worked in that hydroelectric plant. Well, when I first went to be the pastor of the church, they all said one Saturday, we want to take you over to the hydroelectric plant and show you where we work. And I said, okay, fine. And then we were going to go up on the mountain and play golf. And I said, okay, fine. So we stopped by the plant. And as soon as we walked in the door and they shut the door behind them, I noticed this drumming sound of the generators. And it just permeated and filled that room. Constant drumming sound of those generators. And as soon as that door was shut, I made the comment. I said, goodness, man, listen to that noise. How do you stand that? And they smiled from ear to ear, and they turned around and said, oh, we don't even hear that anymore. Oh, yes, but they did. They can sit there and say they didn't hear it all they want. But the truth of the matter is, every one of those guys, when they retired from that plant, when they retired after 30 or 35 years of working there, every one of them was stone deaf. There wasn't a one of them didn't wear hearing aids, and there wasn't a one of them that was not on some kind of a disability because of that drumming sound that they said they did not hear. Oh, but they did hear it. And folks, as we go through life, there are some things that we just can't help ourselves. We're going to hear them. But the point that the Lord is making is this. He is trying to get us to see that there, in the physical impact of all sound, there is a region where the will is powerless. And Jesus was perfectly aware of that. So when he spoke of hearing, it was not of the physical impact that he was speaking of. To the Lord Jesus, when he spoke of hearing, no sound had traveled its course until it had reached the ear, from the ear to the soul. And it is when the soul deals with what we hear that what we take, that then it takes on moral value, meaning, and purpose. I remember when I was in college. Let me illustrate again. I remember when I was in college, I minored in speech and English. Now, I know you'd never know that, but it is. I had a double minor, And as an English minor, I had to take several language or literature courses. And I remember this one writer, and really that's the only thing I remember about him, and I looked it up to make sure that I was right on it, but his name is Langbridge. And Langbridge wrote a poem, and there's a line in it that I remembered, and I went back and dug it out, and sure enough, it was what I remembered. Here's what he said. Two men looked out of the prison bars. One saw mud, the other saw stars. You see, it depends on your perspective, does it not? Here are two men, they're in the exact same condition, they're in the exact same environment, and it was the same prospect that they looked upon, but one saw the positive and the other saw the negative. One saw beauty and one saw despair. And folks, that's the same way it is with us and what we hear. To different ears can come the same sounds, the same volume, the same cadence, the same accent, yet how different their interpretation in the selective power of the soul that hears. Folks, it is not with the eyes that we see, it is with the soul that we see. It is not with the ears that we hear, it is with the soul that we hear. The soul is the real you. Your soul, listen, your body is just the house of your soul. The soul is the real you. The soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. It's who you are. It's what you are. And what I think the Lord is trying to get us to see here is that it is with the soul that we hear, and what you hear determines what you will become. I mean, if you sit around and listen to garbage all the time, mark it down, garbage is what you're going to be. So be selective. Guard what you hear. The soul is the real you. And all that we perceive and understand, by all that we love and hate, by all that we have done with our lives, this is how we hear a thing. So let me ask you, with what do we color and tint the words that we hear? You ever talk to somebody and everything you say, they interpret it in a filthy way? You ever talk to somebody and no matter what you say, their filthy little dirty minds take what you say and put a worldly slant on it and make it dirty and make it filthy, and you stand there embarrassed to death, not for what you said, there was nothing wrong with what you said, but the things that you say are twisted by somebody else. Folks, that person has just revealed to you what is in their heart. That person has just revealed the kind of character they are. And that's why the Lord Jesus says to those of us that have ears to hear, take heed how or what ye hear. Be careful what you allow to come in. And we need to guard against that. We need to guard it carefully. I mean, do the things you hear, are they just how tainted are they? I mean, are they painted with the beauties and glories of heaven, or are the words that we hear tainted with the dark shades of hell? I'm saying, Christian, be careful what you hear. Be careful what you allow to enter into your soul, for that is a reflection and a revelation of who you are. It is a reflection of your character. It is a reflection of your personality. And it is in the verdict which you are always passing that your responsibility begins. What you hear is a reflection of what you are. And it's no wonder the Lord Jesus said, take heed what you hear. They all heard the same thing. It is just that He knew some would not hear what they were supposed to be hearing. Now, secondly, let me illustrate this point from the Scripture. Take your Bible and go over to John chapter 12 for just a moment. John chapter 12. Let me illustrate this point from the Scriptures, lest some of you think that I'm just up here filling in space. Look, please, if you will, at verse 27. The Lord is speaking. John chapter 12. The Lord is speaking. He has been speaking now for quite a while. And in verse 27, he says, He says, now that he's almost finished speaking to the people, realizing that he's going to the cross within just a few hours. He says in verse 27, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Now watch verse 28. Jesus then lifted his head towards heaven. Watch it now. And he said, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a what? Voice. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Folks, do you realize what happened here? God spoke here. Jesus lifted his eyes. He knows that he's going to the cross in just a few hours. He knows he has just delivered his heart and soul to the people. But he knows that they did not hear what he had to say. They heard him, but they did not hear him. And he says, Father, glorify thyself. And all of a sudden the heavens broke open and God spoke to the people. But now look at the reaction. Verse 29. The people, therefore, that stood by and, what's the next word? They heard it. How did they hear it? Look at me. They heard it with their ears. But not all heard what was really said, did they? The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. And others said, well, an angel spoke to him. I mean, they couldn't even get it straight within themselves. And that's usually the way it is it not? I mean, usually those that cannot hear the truth, they can't even agree as to what they did hear. And so, here are the disciples and Jesus. They heard, they knew that it was God that was speaking, but the people did not hear what was said. And so you got to realize that this was the audible utterance of the Creator of the universe that fell upon the ears of every individual that was standing around. And yet, each person heard something different than the person standing next to him. And folks, that's my point. I submit to you that every person heard what they had trained themselves to hear. It was the same sound to every ear, but was perceived different by every ear. Let me give you another example just from daily life. Here's a mama who has a little baby. At about 12 to 14 months, that little baby starts making sounds. And then that little baby starts to put those sounds together. And when the average person hears the sounds of this baby, they make absolutely no sense whatsoever. No sense at all. To some other person, the childish blatherings mean nothing. But to mama, those little utterances and those little syllables and those little words that are thrown together are full of meaning, and mama never grows weary with hearing those sounds. What made me think of this is Braden. Braden is... Braden was over at the house last night. Of course, Josh and Kathy came too, but Braden was over at the house last night. And he's at that age where he wants to explore everything. I mean, he wants to get in everything. And if there is a cell phone, he wants to open it up and he wants to start pushing buttons on the cell phone. And if there's a remote control, he knows to get that remote control, turn around and point it at the TV and start pushing buttons, and all kinds of crazy things happen on the TV. One day it took me a half an hour to get that thing back. I didn't think I was ever going to. I was going to have to call and get professional help to get the thing back. The girls have said to me, Dad, you let Braden get away with stuff that you'd have beat us half to death over. I said, yes, that's exactly right. What's your point? Amen. Hey, it's only stuff. It can be fixed if it's broken or replaced if it's broken. And so he's talking. I mean, who knows what he's saying?
But he's talking. And he'll start throwing syllables together. And I was sitting there last night thinking, you know, that doesn't even sound like a foreign language. That sounds alien to me. But you know, Kathy can listen to that and she knows exactly what he's saying. She knows exactly what he wants. I'll sit and listen to it and I laugh. I think it's hilarious. But Kathy can sit and listen to it and she knows whether he wants the diaper changed or whether he wants something to drink or whether he wants to do something. She knows. I'm saying, folks, that she does not hear him with just a fleshly ear. She hears him with a mother's heart. And she listens to every syllable and gives it the gift of heaven, a mother's love, which enables her to interpret every word that he says. And so by what she hears, she's then able to train him and be what he needs her to be. Folks, I'm saying that what we hear depends upon what we have given our hearts to. And if we love an individual, their words are sweet. If we hate a person, every word they say is barbed and full of bitterness. So it is by love, it is by hate, it is by jealousy, it is by envy that we record and register the utterances that we hear. And that's why the Lord Jesus said, take heed. That's why he said, be careful what you hear. If you don't think this is so, folks, you just look at the political parties in our country today. I mean, President Bush made a speech this week to a bunch of retired veterans. And I listened to the speech. I'm going to tell you something, folks. It was classic. It was a wonderful speech. But you know, there are a lot of folks in America that did not think that that was a wonderful speech. They did not hear what I heard. He made a speech that, man, I sat there and I said, yes, yes, that's right on, President. That's it. You nailed it. But then I listened to the media, and you know, the media did not hear what I heard. And then I watch the news, and lo and behold, here's old John Kerry comes on. And when John Kerry started speaking, I wanted to shoot somebody. I wanted to take the TV and throw it out in the yard. I mean, I wanted to go into I wanted to go sign up for the military and go over and just whip fascists the rest of my life. You see, I heard him one way, just as I heard the president one way. Because I happen to agree with the fundamental ideology that those that are trying to kill us need to be stopped. I just happen to agree with that. I just think that's good philosophy. Listen, folks, I'm going to get going here. Did you see what's up? It was in the paper this morning. Did you see that Al Qaeda guy is now wanting us to convert to Islam? If we just convert to Islam, everything will be okay. Well, folks, as I said in the back of the bulletin this morning, I have no intentions of bowing to Mecca 5 times a day. None whatsoever. And so you know, you hear what you want to hear based upon what you are. Do you understand that? And folks, that's why Paul talked about some folks having itching ears. Hey, you better be careful what your ears itch after. Your ears need the truth. You need to hear the truth of the Word of God. You better be careful what your ears start itching about. I mean, liberals, Kerry will speak and the liberals will say, oh, wasn't that wonderful? I need to take anti-regurgitation medicine every time I hear him speak. I'm saying people hear what they want to hear based upon what is in their hearts. And that leads me to the final thing. Let me take this just one more step. Folks, to further illustrate the point, let me make one more, let me just take a one more step. It is a fact, listen to me now, it is a fact that in the company of certain people, there are things we would never dream of saying. Right? There are certain people who, when they are around certain other people, think of nothing but restraining their tongues. But then when these degenerates get around others, they're to let her fly. Because they know. You see, heart speaks to heart. Are you listening? Heart speaks to heart. They know. This shows us the kind of thing that we hear depends upon our own character. Listen, folks, if someone were to tell me some objectionable story, I would certainly be embarrassed and ashamed. I would be ashamed of the fellow telling me the story, but I would also be ashamed of myself. You say, well, why would you be ashamed of yourself? I would feel ashamed that that person had such thoughts of me and of the kind of things that I love to hear that he would venture such garbage upon me. You see what the point is, folks? The point is, you make sure that your light is shining. You make sure that the things that you put in your heart are the things that causes you to shine brightly for the cause of Christ, and not the things that would make others think, well, he's just like me. Let them see Jesus when they see you. Don't you see how important it is to guard what you hear? I mean, you reveal what is in your heart by what you want to hear. You reveal your true character by what you allow yourself to hear. You know what it boils down to, folks? Here it is. Don't listen to gossip. I preached on gossip one morning. We got out in the car and Karen said, I want you to know I don't gossip. It's the people I tell things to. They're the ones that gossip. And we had a laugh. Don't listen to it. You know it'll stop right there if it's shared and it's not listened to. That's where it'll end. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to the dirt when someone calls and says, oh boy, do I have a story to tell you. You ought to just say, I ain't going to listen to that. I don't want to hear that. Oh, but it's about Brother Larry. Well, then call me and tell me, all right? No, I'm kidding. No, don't listen to the dirt. You better be careful what you allow into your heart. You know, somebody comes up and tells you some dirt on Brother Larry. You know, that's going to shape your opinion of him. Did you not know that? Somebody comes up and tells you some dirt on John Campbell. Listen, that's going to shape your opinion of him. You have allowed it to come into your ear and lodge into your heart. And your heart is what you are. And it's going to have an impact upon your response to John Campbell. Someday I'm not here and John Campbell's up preaching. Well, I'm not listening to him. I don't care what he says. There's nothing he can say that's going to impact me. It's because you have not been careful about what you hear. You say, well, what if it's true? Well, what if it's not? Amen. Don't you see how important it is? Folks, don't listen to the latest dirt. The good Lord knows there's enough dirt flying around, but it doesn't have to land on you. Take heed how you hear. Christian, I'm saying, be careful with your hearing. It is a great revelation of who you are. And it is as great a revelation as of who you are as what you say. It may not be quite as glaring, but what you hear and love hearing and desire to hear and feast upon is a revealing picture of what you are. Take a look this morning, my friend. Take a look inside and see what is in your heart that causes you to want to hear that which is not edifying to you or to the cause of Christ. Granted, we are to guard what we say. But folks, we are with just as much vigor supposed to guard
what we hear. Remember the little song we teach the kids in Sunday school? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. But there's another verse to that, isn't it? And I believe that of all the verses, this is probably the most important one, because this is the one that shapes character. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful. Be careful. You can't help but hear what goes on around you. You can't help it. You're going to hear what goes on around you. Yeah, them people at work, man, they're just filthy. I know. And you try to stay away from them as best you can. I understand that. But you get out here in the filth, and the filth is going to rub off on you. You're going to have it. But the Lord did not say, be careful. Or Mark did not say, be careful with what goes on out here, although we should. He said, be careful what goes on in here. That's his point. You're going to hear stuff here, but it doesn't have to get here. May God help us as believers to hear the right things. Bow your heads with me, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many folks here today will say, Pastor, God is speaking to my heart this morning. God's dealing with my heart this morning. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. No doubt about it. But God's dealing with me as a Christian. And Pastor, I needed this challenge this morning. I need to be careful what I hear. And I need to be careful what I allow into my heart. And you know, I've allowed some things in there that has revealed to me that I need to get closer to the Lord. And I need to be led of the Spirit in what I hear, and not just led of the world and of the flesh. And Pastor, God's dealing with my heart this morning. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up all over this building this morning? Just lift your hand and hold it up. Amen, 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 amen. Good, good, good. How about up in the balcony? Yes, God bless you folks. God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you, and you, and you, and you, yes. And you, yes, amen. Oh, my folks, listen. This can change your life if you'll let it. Just be careful what you hear. You may put your hands down. Let me ask this one more question. You've sat here this morning and you've listened. You heard what I had to say. Let me ask you this. Are you sure you're saved and on your way to heaven? If you died today, do you know beyond shadow of doubt that you'd go to heaven when you die? If you know that for sure, there's no doubt about it. You know that you're saved. You trusted Christ as your Savior. Would you lift your hand and testify you know Christ is your Savior? Say, Preacher, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. Amen. You may put your hands down. Thank you. Now, it's just as I suspected, as just about everybody. But there were a few hands that weren't raised. Dear friend, listen to me. God loves you this morning. Oh, how He loves you. And His mercy was extended when He sent His Son to take your place in death on the cross. Jesus died for you just like He died for me. I trusted Him as my Savior, and He saved me. And if you'll trust Him, He'll save you too. How many will say, Pastor, I could not raise my hand to say I know for sure that I'm saved, but I'm concerned about my soul. I wish you'd pray for me this morning. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? Yes, God bless you, and God bless you. And anybody else? Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved, but I know I need to be saved. Anybody else? You may put your hand down. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not 100% sure, but I want you to pray for me. All right. Now, Father, You know our needs today, and I pray the Holy Spirit of God will meet the needs of our hearts. Lord, help us to know. Help us to understand what we've heard this morning and to realize, dear Lord, that we're not only responsible for what we say, but, Lord, we're responsible for what we hear. And Lord, much of what we say that is sin and that is not glorifying to You is a result of what we've allowed to come in through our hearing and lodge in our hearts. And so, Lord, I pray that You'll help us now to take this little truth and apply it and use it, that we might be better servants for You. And Lord, I want to pray for every person that raised their hand. And Lord, draw us close to Yourself. May we, Lord, leave our seats and come to this altar and make a decision that we're going to guard what we hear. That we're going to make sure that the things that we hear are the right things that will enhance our relationship with You and make us better servants. And Lord, I want to pray for these that are not sure that they're saved. Oh, dear Lord, may today be the day of salvation for these dear souls. Lord, You came and gave Your life for them. You died on the cross for them, just like You did for me. Lord, You saved me, and You can certainly save them if they will just hear and let You save them. Oh, Lord, I pray that today will be the day that they'll walk down this aisle and let someone take a Bible and show them how to go to heaven. Lord, do Your work now in our midst, and we'll thank You for it in Christ's name. Amen.